Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
All right, baby, here we go. It is our final program of the week because tomorrow is the Thanksgiving Day holiday. An early happy Thanksgiving to you and yours wherever you may be listening us today here inside the Patriots Playbook. I'm John Rook. Eric Scalavino from PFW is here for a few minutes as well to kind of get you set for the weekend. We know there's 3 big NFL games tomorrow, a couple of college games tomorrow, so we'll have some great football, we hope, we think, over the course of the Thursday, Friday, Saturday portion of the weekend, and then it just turns into what undoubtedly will be the
game
premier
of the
game of the week, right, on Sunday afternoon at 4:25 Eastern time.
CBS
from,
is drooling for the potential ratings here.
Well, that was one of the things I think I noticed a couple of weeks ago when this game was not flexed tonight, that CBS said, oh, hold on, big fella, we want a good game too, and so they don't give everything off to NBC.
No, the networks can, I forget how many it is, but they can... they can protect certain games on their schedule. And
this was definitely a protectable one.
Yeah, smart.
Without a doubt,
them.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you've got two teams, the only two teams in the NFL to finish with a winning record in each of the last 5 seasons. The Packers and the Patriots are the only teams in the league to make the playoffs each of the last 5 seasons. You have two head coaches who have the second and third best regular season winning percentages among active NFL coaches with a minimum of 50 games going against each other, or I should say matching wits because they don't really technically go against each other. You've got two of the 6 teams in the NFL with at least 8 wins matched up this weekend against each other. And then you got the two teams with the greatest point differential over their opponents this year. The Patriots are plus 130 over their opponents. The Packers are plus 108 in terms of outscoring the other guys. So, really.
Super Bowl preview?
You know, I kind of poo-pooed that a little bit yesterday. But the more I thought about it overnight, I'm thinking, yeah, why not? Maybe this is a legitimate Super Bowl preview. And I think the funny thing about it is, Eric, is that before the season started, I thought that this could be a Super Bowl preview. And then, of course,
and the way things unfolded.
And the
initially,
way they unfolded, Green Bay started 1-2. The Patriots started 2-2.
Yeah.
So it really didn't look like that was going to happen. And so I just kind of kept my mouth shut, you know. But it true to form, these guys started playing into form. And, I don't blame you for picking Green Bay to win at home. I do not blame you, because I think I'm getting ready to do the same thing myself. I know that comes as a complete and utter shock to you.
No, what comes as a complete and utter shock to me is that you're wearing a Boston College Athletics sweatshirt. What in the world is going on there?
I did this for Kevin today.
Why?
Because he's a huge BC fan.
Yeah, but what are you trying to do him a favor for?
Because he's a good guy. You know, it's a holiday.
Oh,
for Boston, for Boston. Okay, that's all. Thank you. You know, I still have probably about 3 or 4 of these that are all about 15 years old from when I was doing the football games at BC. You remember I did do that, you know, in a previous life.
Yeah.
So
I know. I still think of BC as a Big East opponent.
Most people in the East do,
and
most people I think who are Boston College fans don't even recognize they're in the ACC.
To the Friars.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
No.
I understand.
I know.
By the way, speaking of Big East, Butler is about to absolutely get a huge win for the Big East. They're going to beat North Carolina at the Battle for Atlantis in the Bahamas. I know you don't care, and I know that most of our audience does not care. That's a big win. Do you realize that the Big East non-conference this year is 37-2?
They've already had that many games?
39 games. I'm up with 10 teams in the league.
Yeah, but wow.
37-2, getting ready to be 38-2 right now. Butler's going to win this with 40 seconds left. They're up by 6.
How are Friars going to do this year?
Friars are 5-0.
I mean, how are they going to do? Are they going to do this again where they pretend they're going to be good and then they don't?
No, I actually think they've got a good shot. They've got to stay healthy. Right now, they've got two of their best guards that are got bad ankles from they swept two ACC teams over the weekend. They beat Florida State, and they beat Notre Dame, and they had two guys hurt ankles, and so probably won't have either one of them for Kentucky when we play number one Kentucky on Sunday. How about this? How about this? Providence plays number one ranked Kentucky at 2 p.m. Eastern time on Sunday.
It'll be over just in time for the Patriots
game. That's what I'm saying. Thank goodness this is a 4:25 kickoff, because then I can watch the Patriots.
Yeah.
Although I'll probably be in transit on an airplane somewhere, because we'll charter back and forth. But I've got the recorder ready to roll, so that's just the way it works out this time of year.
So you're in
I'll be in Lexington.
You're in Lexington?
Mm-hmm. Rupp Fieldhouse.
Have you been there
Rupp
before?
Rupp Arena. I have been to Rupp, yes.
What's that like?
It was fine, you know. It was for an NCAA tournament about...
Oh, not for a Kentucky game.
No, not for a Kentucky game. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to it from that aspect.
So you'll have an all-blue kind of environment,
yeah.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
Like we have
like two or three years from now, I won't be here at this moment. I'll be right there.
In the Bahamas?
In the Bahamas, yes.
Good for you.
How great would that be? Okay, we've already digressed. Let's jump into this. Why in particular do you feel like, even on the roll the Patriots are on, that this is Green Bay's game really to lose or to win, and the Patriots' game to lose?
It's so hard to win on the road in this league, and the Patriots are good at it. They're able to win on the road consistently, especially this time of year. I forget what the numbers are, but their record under Bill Belichick in the November-December range is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But they aren't perfect, and if there's going to be a game that they're going to lose for the remainder of the year, this is the one. It's
right.
A good opponent. It's right. On the road. They've won seven straight against other good opponents, and they've manhandled those opponents. It's just so hard, John. I can't imagine. I know they're good and they're playing well, but I don't think they're 2007 good where I can just say, yeah, they're going to go in and they're going to smoke whoever they're playing. I just the league is too tight, and I just don't feel it this week. I mean, maybe for the rest of the season I'll be able to say that, but this is a tough spot.
Here's what I think. I really believe that this is the toughest quarterback challenge that the Patriots will have faced all year, and that's with all due respect to Peyton Manning and certainly to Andrew Luck, who may be the next best thing since sliced bread, and yes, even Matthew Stafford, who I was not terribly impressed with last week. Aaron Rodgers he's got a 25 to 2 touchdown to interception ratio since week 4 when they began to turn their season around. Passer rating since then, over those 8 games, 129.5. And this is why the Packers have won 7 of 8. And I think, maybe with the exception of Seattle, they clearly are a favorite now in the NFC.
Yeah, they're certainly playing better than Seattle, more consistently than Seattle, I think. I've been a little disappointed with the way the Seahawks have performed this year. But no surprise, really, coming off of a Super Bowl championship season, it's hard to repeat.
Here's the other thing that worries me, because you have Jordy Nelson, who has become one of the best deep threats in the NFL, because you have Randall Cobb, who has turned into a pretty good slot receiver himself. There seem to be some answers there to attack the Patriots where they could be, I said could be most vulnerable. How about this for Nelson? 22 catches of 40-plus yards.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Holy crap.
And, you know, I was looking at his bio earlier today. I'd forgotten how big he is. He doesn't look like – he doesn't look that big and imposing on the field when you see highlights of him.
Right.
I think of him as a smaller guy. And he's not. He's 6'3", 220.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So he's a big
dude.
That's
a tough matchup. 15, and he's fast.
He's averaged over 15 yards per catch for his career. And he's a seventh-year pro. So this means that he gets, every time he touches the ball, he's getting a first down and then some. So that does concern me. And that's one thing that I think the Patriots must be concerned with, is keeping Nelson in front of them without a doubt. That has to be a huge key to this game. Huge key. Cobb, and I had some fans, actually, some callers yesterday talk about Cobb as well. The fact that he's become a very efficient receiver, in the slot, kind of doing what Julian Edelman and Wes Welker before him have done for the Patriots.
Yeah.
So it's not like the Patriots won't have seen what Green Bay can do. The problem is they're going to find maybe the most accurate quarterback in the game today doing it to them with equally capable receivers. And that's going to be tough for anybody to stop, whether you're New England's defense or Detroit's defense or anybody else's defense in the NFL. And I think that's going to be worth some points because they are going to be at home. That's the key number one thing. Number two, the other thing that really stands out to me is that these two teams are 1-2 in giveaway takeaway ratio. Green Bay is 1. The Patriots are right behind them. With home field advantage, that could be good for another turnover. And if they get one more turnover than the Patriots do this week, that can end up being the difference of the game, making a short field somewhere. That's why you're going to go on the road and you're going to beat a team the caliber of Green Bay. You have to play a near perfect, if not perfect, game. I'm not sure the Patriots are capable of that because of last week's 11 penalty performance against Detroit.
Yeah, 13 total flagged and 11 accepted.
11 accepted.
Yeah, it was, and they had seven drops, which was a season high.
Yep.
For the offense. They really do. They need to play better than that if they want to go to Green Bay and win.
And then here's the other thing. And clearly Eddie Lacy has done a good job running the football. He can attack if he can get past the initial, line of scrimmage, I think that's where he can do some damage, which to me, the most important part of this game for the Patriots are the linebackers and how well Jamie Collins and or Dante Hightower and or Jonathan Casillas and whoever else might be back there, how well they shift from their coverage duties to their plug the hole and stop Eddie Lacy duties. This is going to be a pick your poison type of thing, and this will be a challenge for the Patriots to force Green Bay to beat them, to shut down one aspect of Green Bay's offensive game, because they do both things very well.
It's even more of a challenge, I think, than Denver was, because of all of those things you mentioned and the fact that it's on the road. I you can't discount how a team plays at home versus the road. That's one of the reasons why I went with Kansas City earlier this year. That was one of the games I thought, even before the season started, was going to be tough for New England to win because of the environment. And, Brady's good in cold weather. It's going to be cold up there. It's not, I don't think, going to be snowing, but so is Rodgers.
Well, I think it'll all boil down to, and we'll get to my prediction here in a second, I think it'll all boil down to whether or not the Patriots can run effectively on Green Bay's 30th-ranked run defense. It has not given up a lot of yards, and it has given up some yards. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that has to do with the fact is that they might be a little overrated in that I'm not sure how actually good they are in their run defense. And the reason I say that is because they've gotten out to quick starts on people. They've had tremendous first quarters and first halves on people. And so when they get that kind of a jump start, frankly, it's tough for teams. Yeah. They got to come from behind. So really, they haven't really faced what I would consider even it would be a dynamic run attack, because teams are forced to throw against them immediately. So I don't know whether or not the Patriots or anybody else can really run on Green Bay. This will be the big test. If the Patriots can control the tempo and run the ball between the tackles and force Green Bay to play off its heels a little bit and then play their game, make Green Bay play their game as well, then the Patriots can certainly win this game.
Oh,
but I'm
sure.
But I'm just saying, I'm not sure that that's going to be possible in this environment. And if they don't play a perfect game, if they don't eliminate the mistakes, that even one mistake that could take one potential score off the board can end up costing you on Sunday.
Yeah, I won't be stunned at all if the Patriots go to Lambeau and win. I don't think it's going to be easy, and I don't think it's going to happen. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to be surprised if they go in there and play well and win, but I think they are going to have to play, as you said, darn near perfect for that to happen.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Especially, this is a 2-week stretch on the road, and they're going to be away for a while. This is, they need to get at least one win in the next 2 weeks,
right?
On this road trip stretch,
right? All right. Oh, Butler has beaten North Carolina 74-66. You got to love basketball during the middle of the day. This is awesome. I love this. It's great stuff. Love it.
Feels like March.
It does feel a little like March. I love these pre-conference tournaments are great. Good stuff.
And it's precipitating outside.
It is precipitating. It's getting nasty out here right now. That storm that's moving up the East Coast has reached us. And while points north and somewhat west of here are getting hammered way more than we are, especially in the Berkshires in Western Mass, we've got sleet and some snow outside right now already. So it's here.
Yep.
It's here. Too bad the game isn't here.
It's going to be our third snowfall of November, I believe.
Correct.
In the area,
that's right. We've had three already in November.
Mm-hmm.
Says something.
Measurable.
So I'm going to go with, let's get back to the original point here. I know, I'm sorry. I like to digress. I'm leaning toward Green Bay 30, New England 27.
And the spread was?
Spread was three, right?
Three, I believe.
That's
so.
A push. Yeah. I probably should. You know what? I'm going to take I'm going to go 30 to 28. I'm going to have the Patriots covering. I think it'll end up, you know, it could come down to, like I said, the last possession of the football game. I am going to take the Patriots to cover, but I think Green Bay squeaks it out. And by the way, just, you know, as a point of reference, I went back and double checked everything a couple of days ago. The Patriots are 9-2 going into the game. I was only 7-4 against the spread. 7-4. So I was two games behind picking the Patriots. So, but I'm taking the Patriots against the points. So if they cover the spread, that improved me to 8-4 against the points. Last year, the Patriots finished, what did they finish regular season? 12-4?
Yeah.
Well, we finished 12-4,
yeah.
And I was exactly 12-4 against the spread last year as well. Actually, I was one better. I was 13-3 against the spread. That's right. I was one better last year. I'm two games behind it this year. So, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Just for what it's worth. But I am going to say 30. And by the way, I will say this. If this is a loss this weekend, and it could very easily be a win, I agree with you there. But if this is a loss, they won't lose again.
Probably not.
Not in the regular season, because that'll just piss them off for San Diego next week.
Yeah,
and they're not going to lose. They're not going to lose the divisional games because they're just not going to lose those.
Right. Yeah, I don't see that.
Especially when you have Miami here at home, and the Jets will be, you know, dead and buried, and Buffalo's the last game, and you know nothing to play for. Shouldn't be anything on
shouldn't
the line.
Shouldn't be anything.
Shouldn't
at that
be.
Point.
So even at 13-3, I think the Patriots would still end up having the bye if that's the way that it all plays out. So what we want you to do, though, is now it's time for your predictions. Like we said, we had to combine WTF Wednesday with Prediction Thursday. So whichever hashtag you want to use, fire it off. But here's how you get a hold of us, 855-PATS-500. Toll free, 855-PATS-500, web radio at patriots.com on email, at JRBroadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. And yes, the competition is still alive. We've gone through 12 weeks now. Nobody has correctly predicted the Patriots score. Nobody has won the Media Guide Yearbook yet this season. We
no
had
one, huh?
2 weeks ago when the Patriots won 42-20. We had someone pick 41-21. That's as close as we've gotten.
Wow.
1 point either way. That's as close as we've gotten.
It's tougher to win that than it is to win in the NFL on the road.
I think you're right. But that's still on the line if you correct predict the correct score. You'll have a little gifting in your mailbox next week. So there you go. When are you out for Green Bay?
Saturday.
Okay.
My maiden voyage. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Never been to Green Bay.
Wave at the rookie on the way by in Milwaukee. You know, he actually came home for the holidays. He was on the show yesterday. We did a simulcast yesterday afternoon with his Calling All Sports show on Marquette Radio.
Really?
With him and his buddy Max. And so we did a simulcast for about a half an hour together. And those guys are up on the Packers, as you would expect them
to be. I would hope so, yeah.
You know, but Austin also knew his Patriots stuff, too. I got to give him credit. So I tweeted at him last night, and I said, you guys did a good job. You were up on your stuff. And they did a good job with it.
I didn't realize I was looking at the map to try to figure out the distance between where we're staying and where Green Bay is and where Milwaukee is.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how far away Green Bay is from Milwaukee.
It's hour and a half.
2 hours.
Hour and a half to 2 hours. So it depends on the weather, really. But I think it's a little under a 2 hour drive in perfect weather. So.
And I didn't ever really realize how much of a Milwaukee's like a lake town, just like Chicago. They're
right on the lake. I never realized
that, because you don't really hear about it as.
They've had lake effect snow this week, as Austin was telling me, that he trudged in a driving snowstorm the other night to go see from campus to the Bradley Center downtown to go see Marquette play hoop with his one of his roommates. So, you know, I said, well, that's dedication, man, especially in the snow. And he goes, I don't even think about it anymore. So he's gotten used to it.
He's a hardened veteran.
He's hardened on that one. There's no doubt about that. All right, so what we want are your predictions. And we'll get into a little bit more on the Packers matchup, Field Yates coming up in the second hour of the program. What I also want you to consider with your predictions today, here's the big thing. Number one, who must be important for the Patriots to win this game? You know, if it's Gronk, that's fine. If you think it's Brady, that's fine. To me, the most important person for the Patriots to win this game, really, believe it or not, is Aaron Rodgers. And the reason I say that is because I think he holds the key to everything Green Bay. You know, you put a little pressure on him, cause him some confusion. If you can slow him down like you did, you know, Manning, like you did Luck, certainly like you did Stafford last week, Patriots are going to be right there with an opportunity. Patriots are going to be right there with an opportunity. Don't undersell Mike McCarthy's ability to adjust, because I think this is one of the reasons why he's also considered one of the better coaches in the NFL. He adjusts as well as anybody that's out there. He hasn't had to adjust much because, frankly, the Packers have gotten off to great starts in their games. I mean, they've got an overwhelming advantage on opponents in the first quarter and in the first half of the games this year. So the Patriots could play within a possession going into halftime. I think the Patriots are in pretty good shape, kind of how I look at it.
It's going to be a close game.
I'm really not sure what kind of a second-half team Green Bay is, I'll be honest. I'm not terribly sure. And I think we all realize that, you know, the Patriots, you know, don't fear anything one way or the other, whether they're playing from the lead or they're playing from behind.
I hope one thing, John. I hope this game lives up to the hype, because there's a lot of hype for this game. Mm-hmm. I hope it lives up to it.
I think it'll be... It certainly looks like it could live up to it.
I hope it does.
If it stays clean,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I don't want there to be any sort of officiating controversy or, you know, blown calls or anything like that, dirty play. I just want it to be a nice,
good game. You mean like Dominic Raiola?
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, we don't need any of that nonsense.
By the way, why wouldn't the NFL at least, you know, give him
a
token fine?
I am surprised.
I think the NFL really blew that.
Yeah.
Shame on the NFL.
I am,
because the guy's
surprised.
Admitting to doing something illegal, and they're you know, and everybody can see it on the replay. He dove, you know, below the knee on Zach Moore, and it's like, well, somebody should say something.
I'm
but
really
not saying
surprised
anything.
That he didn't get anything.
I know.
Even a nominal fine. I'm really surprised.
Something just to say, hey, look, you know what? You screwed up here. Somebody's going to end up, you know, ripping something, and it's going to be Rayola or someone like him, that, you know, because the only deterrent to these guys from doing these things is hit them where it hurts,
mm-hmm.
And that's in the pocket.
Right.
Simple. All right. Since now we're at the bottom of the hour, before we let you go upstairs and write so
yeah.
You can get home for your own Thanksgiving, what do you do for Thanksgiving?
We go to my uncle's house. He lives in deep in the woods in a very bucolic setting. Perfect Currier and Ives type.
Nice.
Sleigh bells
jingling, maybe?
It's I don't know if we'll have sleigh bells, but it's that type of environment where it wouldn't be uncommon to see one.
All right.
It's beautiful. I love
right.
where he lives.
Nice
and we do that every year.
And where does he live?
He lives deep in the woods of Gloucester, Rhode Island.
Gloucester, Rhode Island.
Mm-hmm.
Foster, Gloucester.
Yep. No school.
Foster, Gloucester. Yes. Okay. So we do have time for this, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
This is a new one, John, that I just came across.
Turducken!
No, that's not a new one. But I just came across this word within the last... couple of weeks or so.
Yeah.
So
you read it?
I read it somewhere and I came across it and said, I don't know what that means at all.
All right.
Coeval.
Coeval?
Mm-hmm.
Is it with a C or a K?
C. C-O-E-V-A-L.
Oh, okay. I was about to say it, probably not.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. That coeval,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like Fred and Andy conspire to be coeval every day on PFW in Progress.
Yeah.
No. That's a new one on me, too. Never heard that.
Coeval, it can be used as both a noun and an adjective. It means it's just another word for a contemporary. So you could say that, I guess if you wanted to use it in a sentence, that Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers would be considered coevals in their NFL careers, give or take a few years, obviously. But
right.
down the line, when they're both being considered for the Hall of Fame, they will be considered co-evils.
So like contemporaries, I suppose. Yeah. Equal contemporaries, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Co-evils. Mm-hmm. All right. I like that. So I learned something today. Wow, that's amazing. I
hope Robin did, too.
Yeah, well.
I didn't make it up. I didn't make it up, Robin. It's in the dictionary. Look under COE, and you'll find it.
I guarantee you she's shaking her head right now. I guarantee it. Shaking her head like that, Eric.
As long as I can stump her, that's all I care about.
I know. She's going to start reading the dictionary.
You know I love you, Robin.
Yeah.
Just doing it for fun.
She's going to start reading the dictionary at night. She usually reads book, you know, history books and stuff because she's big into history.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of these days I'm going to look over and say, what are you reading, hon? And she's going to say, dictionary. I just know that's coming. I'm going to catch Eric on one. I'm going to catch him on one. So, all right, Biggie, have a good holiday.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving to
you
and your family. Safe travels to the frozen tundra.
Thank you. And
even though that's redundant.
I won't see you until the second week of December.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because we'll be out in
San Diego. That's right. You're going out to. Well, then maybe what we can do then, depending on the schedules, we can have you call in next week.
I'll see if we can arrange that.
We can arrange that.
I have no idea what
the
schedule is
going to be, right?
Yet, and
that does present a unique challenge next week, but it's not unprecedented.
No, we did it twice 6 years ago when we had back-to-back West Coast games on two separate occasions.
I remember that. Yep.
We stayed out. That was in Northern California.
Right.
We'll be in Southern California for the week this
Correct.
Time. But looking forward to it. I
All
hope
right.
the weather forecast clears up, though. It's not looking great right now
All right.
out there.
Yeah, well, at least it'll be warmer.
But I'll try to give a
Yeah,
give
see
if we
can check in with you at some point in time next week. That'd be awesome.
All right.
All right, Biggie, way to go. Safe travels.
Thanks,
all right.
man.
Eric Scalavino. Come on, folks. Let's go. You want to play? Let's play. Webradio at patriots.com. 855-PATS-500. Main ways that you can get us here on the program. Although, as we've always said, Twitter is where everything goes on the record. And I know that nothing gets erased on Twitter. So at JR Broadcaster, fire off with your predictions. It is Prediction Thursday on a WTF Wednesday here in the playbook because we'll be away for the Thanksgiving holiday tomorrow. And if you want a shot still at winning the Media Guide Yearbook, you got to play to win. At JR Broadcaster or even on Facebook at John.Rook. So let us know your predictions and who's the big key to the game? Who must play well for the Patriots to win the game on Sunday? Pick one. One performance above and beyond all others for the Patriots to win the game. Curious to know who you think it might be. Is it Gronk? It certainly could be. Is it Brady? Is it the defense? I tend to think that one of the Patriots on the defensive side probably is going to be the key. What do you think? That's the way I'm leaning. Could be Revis, could be Browner. Depends on who has to match up with Nelson, who has to match up with Cobb. Who's going to be responsible for Eddie Lacy coming out of the backfield? Several options that you have there. Fire it off and let us know what you think. Patriots and Packers. Sunday should be a good one. All right, we'll take a break, come back and get some of your scores, get some of your predictions. We'll continue on in the playbook here for a Prediction Wednesday, Patriots.com radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only. They participate in restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to step inside the playbook? Hit up John toll-free on the Ace Ticket hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the man, the myth, the legend himself, John Rook.
Bring your score predictions this way. Prediction Thursday /hashtag WTF Wednesday. Get them in early, get them in now for the Patriots and the Green Bay Packers coming up Sunday. A couple of other things to think about when you think about this game. The Patriots, obviously, you probably knew this one already. First in the NFL in points per game, 32.5. Green Bay right behind them at 32.2 per game. Packers actually lead the NFL in touchdowns scored with 44. The Patriots are third with 40. Shows you how important Steven Gostkowski can be, has been already. Two teams are number one and number two in total points scored this year. New England, number one by 3 points over Green Bay overall. Here's an interesting one to show how dominant these two teams have been on offense. Through 11 games this season, Packers have won 5 games by 20 or more. Patriots have won 6 by 20 or more to lead the league, and that I believe that ties them with 2007's juggernaut type of season. So they're kind of ahead of the pace of where they were in terms of, you know, beating up on other opponents, even in the 2007, you know, undefeated regular season campaign. Green Bay has won an NFL-leading 3 games by 30 or more. New England has not yet won a game by 30 or more this year. So why is Dominic Raiola so upset over the Patriots, you know, scoring a late touchdown? goodness gracious. Still cannot believe that the NFL did not at least fine him. That just blows me away. Packers and Patriots are two of four teams to score at least 50, throw up half a hundred on an opponent this year. Green Bay is 2-0 against the AFC. The Patriots are 3-0 against the NFC this year. Talked a little yesterday about the Patriots' dominance over the NFC North over the years as well. First matchup between Brady and Rodgers as starters. As starters in an NFL regular season game. Seems like that would have happened before, but, you know, clearly when you only play a team once every 4 years with the way that the divisional matchups are now, and you only play their place once every 8 years or get them home one every 8 years, I guess it stands to reason that, you know, okay, you can see why that would happen. Some news for the Patriots today. Chandler Jones, if you hadn't heard, was at the walkthrough. First time he has been cited, really, since week 7 when he went out with the hip injury. Played all of that game and hasn't played in a practice, hasn't been seen in a game or a practice since that time, since that two-point win here at home against the Jets. Now, it was just a walkthrough, but if he's there, then that says a couple of things. Number one, it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to play, but that the team feels solid enough about his recovery to include him in a game plan. That decision may not be made until Saturday, but at least there's some thought that, you know, maybe this week, maybe. Silver Salinga was also inside the field house for practice today. And I saw ESPN Boston reported this one. Salinga's still on the injured reserve with a designation to return. We saw him a week ago, but the Patriots did not remove him from that IR designation. Saw him again today. He still technically has not been removed from that designation. Has not yet been back to normal practices, but he was spotted again today. So, again, maybe he's getting closer. Not real sure what to read into that other than, you know, that's at least a good sign and not necessarily a bad sign. Let's put it, it's a positive sign. If one or both of those guys can come back. In fact, it'd be great if they could both play this week because, frankly, that does worry me. You know, putting pressure certainly on Aaron Rodgers, stopping Eddie Lacy. Yeah, it should worry every Patriots fan right now because Green Bay gets out to a quick start like they've done at home this year. Patriots could find themselves a little bit of a trouble. They could. It's going to be up to New England to just sort of diffuse the start of Green Bay. Like I said, if they could get into halftime, if they're behind, as long as they're within a score, then I think the Patriots are going to be in really good shape. I'll take Tom Brady and what he can do with that offense, and I'll even take the defense in the red zone in the second half against anybody this year in the NFL. My whole basis for thinking that Green Bay can end up on top in this game is predicated on Green Bay doing exactly what they've done all year, and that's get off to a quick start at home. They've buried people from the start. You know, if the Patriots can hang in there or have a lead at halftime, I'm gonna like New England's chances of keeping the pressure on Green Bay. I just am. Here's Trey in Memphis. Trey, you're in the playbook. How are you today, bud?
Hey, John, what's going on with you, man?
Same old, trying to avoid the sleet falling outside, brother.
We've been a little cold here, but we're kind of back in the 50s now, so.
Gotcha.
Kind of, yeah.
Well, I'll trade you.
Man. Not right now.
Can you do me a favor, Trey? One of these days, could you just go by Rendezvous there in Memphis and just get a big old sniff for me of that barbecue?
Hey, man, you know what? I took my father there this past Saturday, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had a field day. Trust me, had a field day.
That is one of the best. That is one of the absolute best barbecue joints on the planet.
Hey, John, you know what? You're right. It's a very popular spot, man, especially like you talking about, especially, you know, a lot of guys, man, you know, they come here and I have a lot of friends, they come here, man, and it's the first place they want to go.
Yep. Well, they do the ribs dry rub style, not wet with sauce. But and it's a little different for those that are used to the saucy ribs, but they are delicious.
Yeah, you got that right, man. You got that right. All right,
go ahead. What do you got?
Oh, man, I'm optimistic about this game. But I do have a concern. You know, I don't want them to get off to a fast start and not be able to match, you know, their pace.
Their intensity, the way that they break out. Yeah. I told you that, yeah, that absolutely is a big concern. Big concern of mine. It should be a big concern of the teams.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm telling you, man, you know, they kind of feed off their home crowd. And, I mean, you look at it, John, they're almost Patriot-like at the house. I mean, because, you know, you got home field, man, and you know, and it seemed like, you know, it's just something about having the Patriots and the Packers. Like, I've been watching both teams, you know, and looking at both teams, how they play at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's impressive. I mean, but like I say, man, if we can match their intensity, I think, you know, that we're going to be fine. I think the edge that we have is our defense.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I mean, they have more to worry about, you know, offensively, because, you know, our defense is secondary. It seems like whenever we think we're going to have trouble out of receivers, we always find, I mean, our defense all the way, you know, they prove us wrong. And it seems like, you know, they're able to adjust and match up against any of receiving corps in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I feel that, you know, that we're going to match up well, but at the same time, Aaron Rodgers, he adds another dimension, you know, that, you know, with his legs, and he's able to throw on the run. He makes throws that, I mean, it kind of wow you. I mean, what do you think about that, John?
You know, I'm kind of with you. I'm very concerned about Aaron Rodgers. I'm very concerned about their, you know, the guys that he has to throw to. I mean, anybody should be. I don't say that to be, you know, negative toward the Patriots defense. I think the Patriots will have their moments. But, you know, people don't understand. I think what Patriots fans are having a hard time grasping here because of this great run that New England is on, and I'm not trying to soft sell that either. But Green Bay is good, Trey, and they're home.
They're a Super Bowl contending team, John.
Eric mentioned it a little while ago. This game could be as tough, if not more difficult, than how they had to plan for Denver coming in. Now, the Patriots were able to get an advantage on Denver, you know, because Denver didn't play well. They got a turnover too, and then, they had a specific game plan for Peyton Manning that worked. I need to see that they can do the same for Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers, admittedly, is smartest, sharpest tool in the shed of NFL quarterbacks right now. He is.
Right, right.
And
John, I think the one thing, John, that we could do is, you know, you kind of like, you know, people, you know, you kind of want to, you know, it's kind of, I feel funny saying this, but, you know, even though I have Tom Brady, I still kind of want to, you know, use the ground game to keep Aaron Rodgers on the side.
Absolutely, Trey.
I want to keep him on the side. Like,
you're spot on. I totally agree with you. And frankly, and with all due respect to Jonas Gray, who I think deserves to have his spot back, if there is such a thing, because I think he's paid his penance now for, you know, missing practice. I just smell LeGarrette Blount all over this one.
Yep. I smell LeGarrette Blount. I mean, you know, you can sprinkle in a little Gray in the suit. You know, my thing is, I think this is a running back game, man.
I agree.
Think, you know, Shane Vereen is going to play a big factor.
Yeah, he could.
As a game.
He absolutely could. Play action, everything.
Because Clay Matthews, he's playing middle linebacker. Now,
right.
So we can kind of get Shane Vereen out on the perimeter now.
Hey, I think we should hope that Matthews, you know, ends up spending some time on Gronk. I've had people ask me that left and right, and I said, well, he's not really a coverage linebacker, but it wouldn't surprise me to see him at least try it, you know, on a couple of things just to give the Patriots different looks. I hope that happens because I think Gronk rips him apart.
Yep, and special team, John, I think, you know, we got the edge special team. So, I mean, but I really would love to see, you know, this ground game, you know, take effect. I mean, like I say, it's going to help set up the to play action. But
sure.
I don't want to. I mean, like I said, John, I was telling a lot of guys who went to a bar the other day, hey, you know, I'm enjoying this ride, but it's not going to be a cakewalk, man.
All right, so what do you think score-wise?
All
right, give it to me. What do you think?
My score prediction, John, if we're able to, you know, keep the limit their possessions and really for us not to turn the ball over, like I said, if we turn the ball over, John, we in trouble.
Yeah,
like
I agree.
Man, but if we can play keep away, not turn the ball over, I'm going to say 33-24.
Okay.
33-24.
33-24. And who's?
Yep, and then,
all right.
If
and
we
then,
can't stay off the field, John.
Right.
All hell going to break loose.
I see where you're coming from. Give me a key player in the game for New England.
Key player in the game for New England. Offensively, my key player is going to be Brandon LaFell.
Okay.
Because I think that they're going to focus on Gronk a lot. And then again, I mean, well, LaFell is 1A, Shane Vereen is 1B. Defensively, I think the key guy for us is going to be, I'm going to say, Vince Wilfer up the middle because, you know, Eddie Lacy, he's been kind of toting that rock, man, kind of hard.
Right.
So,
like, right.
He's been running pretty hard. But like I say, man, I think we're going to be fine. But, hey,
all right.
The Patriots fans out there, hey, you know, let's just kind of let's pump the brakes, you know, and let's just see what happens.
Good stuff.
All right, John, hey, man, happy Thanksgiving to you, man. And look forward to talking to you on Nick Pick Tuesday, man.
Sounds good, Trey. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Here's Dave in Connecticut up next in the playbook. Hi, Dave.
Hey, John, how you doing? First of all, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you, sir. Same to you.
You're welcome. And I agree with the last caller just said. I think we have to have a balanced attack here that's going to neutralize Aaron Rodgers. I don't think we want to get in a shootout with these guys, especially if they're their home field, like you were saying. I know they've been putting up like 50 points almost on a regular basis there.
Seems like it.
You know, so I really think it's definitely a winnable game. Yeah, I mean, I like the matchups. I really do. Okay, I think that, our running game, whether it is Gray or Blunt or a combination of both, they're going to do some damage against these guys. They're kind of weak against the run.
Yep.
Okay, I think, you know, they're weak in the middle of the field. I think Ron's going to have a big game. I agree with you 100%, you know. Seeing Hawks or the other linebacker try to cover them, good coverage.
Yep.
I think that I think it's going to be a good test for us. I think, like you said, most important thing here is to meet their intensity, and we've been able to do it all year. So I don't have a problem with it. My other concern is because sooner or later it is going to catch up to us. Is this penalty situation? I mean, what are we averaging? 10 a game now.
10 a game from what?
Well, 10 penalties a game.
We're averaging, around 9 to 10 a game, yeah.
Okay, yeah, well, it's not that we're not a disciplined team, and I know Belichick is probably pulling out what's left of his hair on that. It's just that, sooner or later it's going to come at an opportune time, and it could cost us a game here. It really could, against a better team like a Green Bay. You can't have these, stupid penalties that are going to cost you. I mean, so we need to tighten that up.
Well, until we see them do that, that's why I have my doubts about the game because, frankly, those are going to cost you in close games.
Yeah, sooner or later they are. Sooner or later, and it's a better team.
If the Patriots end up with 8 or more penalties and still win this game, I'll be one of the most amazed people on the planet.
I agree with you 100%. I think, that's kind of pushing it. I think they have to play a tighter game. And be a more disciplined team. And, it's going to be a fun game to watch. It really is because this is the first time that these two guys have matched up, right?
Yes. Yes.
So it should be interesting.
Yes, I agree. All right, how about a score, Dave?
I say New England 38-21.
38-21. So you don't think the injuries or the penalties are going to be any problem then?
Well, I mean, the injuries really haven't hurt us. I mean, I think my key player on defense. It's obviously Wolfork and Alan Branch, who I think has done an excellent job stepping in.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And both of the running backs offensively.
All right.
All three. Shane Vereen out of the backfield on screens.
Okay.
Okay. I think, just another note, it's kind of funny that, everyone jumps on Belichick, the head coach, he's not a good GM. Look at these players he's brought in via trade, and you know, and just picking him off the pile there. He's done a good job this year. He really
sure.
has.
All right, I'm buying it.
You know, I mean Branch, you know the tight end. Everyone was bugging out about that trade. Everybody loves him. I mean, you know, Ayers, you know, he's done a good job. He's done a good job seeing where he needs that. Had that weakness in filling a spot.
Okay. All right, give me your score again, Dave. I want to make sure I got it.
38-21.
All right, got sure. it. Dave in Connecticut says 38-21. Happy Thanksgiving, Dave. Here's our buddy Steve in Killeen, Texas. Hi, Steve.
Hey, John. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. By the way,
and all Pets Nation.
Thank you. And by the way, let me read what Steve just sent me via email. When you're frying your turkey tomorrow, step one, make sure it is completely thawed or even a fresh bird, because the mistake that most people make when trying to fry is trying to fry a frozen and not fully thawed bird, and that's when the oil causes explosions out of the pot and fires and all that stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Good.
That's the turkey frying safety tip.
Turkey frying safety tip from Steve and Killeen. Thank you.
And much love to Trader in Memphis, because I've had those ribs, man.
Oh, they are the best, aren't they? They undoubtedly are the best. I'll be honest. I prefer more of the saucy type of thing, but you know the dry rub in Memphis is absolutely out of this world, and it's a wonderful change of pace. If you've never had them, do yourself a favor and go to the Rendezvous. It's just a little hole in the wall on a back alley street in downtown Memphis, but it is unbelievable.
Yeah, if you can find a place that can do both the KC style and a good Memphis rub.
Oh, then you're in great shape. Yeah. Yeah, best of both worlds. Totally agree with that.
Well, for me, the game is going to come down to the four P's, John. Possession, points, piss-offedness, and penalties.
Okay, got it.
You can control all those. And for me, it's not just a player. It's our special teams. If the kicking game can get us in position, even with the things that happened in the last game, you figure an Edelman touchdown, a strong one from Amendola,
mm-hmm.
or some combination thereof, where we have the field position that we need,
yeah.
and we don't get the penalties, I think that the Patriots could actually put 44 up on Green Bay in their house.
Wow. Okay. Well, I like your optimism. I'll put it to you this way. The Patriots put 44 up on Green Bay, they win that game. There's not much doubt about it.
No, and I think, you know, there's going to be that unexpected Aaron Rodgers mistake. That's kind of what I'm... And I know that that's a long shot, John, but for, you know, some reason, I just feel like that's the way it's going to go down.
Sometimes you got to go with your gut. I agree.
All right, sir. Hey, all the best.
All right.
Stay safe, and we'll get this one in San Diego.
Absolutely. What's your final score then again?
44-31.
31. Yeah, got it. 44-31. Yep, I got it here on the email, too. Steve, happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
All right, thank you, sir.
You got it. Steve and Killeen. Belarco in Los Angeles. Hey, Belarco, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John, I hope you're doing well and happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, same to you.
Before I tell my prediction, I just want to share one small thing that's been bothering me a lot, like last month or so. I like the playbook and the PFW in progress, both shows, and I just don't understand why some listeners and emailers have to take shots at the other show.
I think it's because we take shots as ourselves around here. This is sort of like a big sort of clubhouse sometimes. So, you know, there's a lot of testosterone, you know, that flies freely in here, you know, just like in a sports locker room. I think it's very, very similar. And so I think just, you know, guys rub each other, you know, they kid each other and, you know, and they take shots at each other. I think it just kind of comes naturally. And sometimes people take it a little bit too far. Maybe, you know, some of the fans do, maybe some of the listeners do. Who knows? But nobody here takes it seriously. I mean, you know, I rag on Andy and his big head, and he rags on me being negative and Eric being negative, and, you know, and everybody rags on Fred, and hardly anybody, I don't think, really rags on Paul, but I know that there are some out there. But you know what? That's fine. It doesn't matter. You know, the bottom line is that we're here to give you our opinions. You can either agree or disagree. That's fine. And you don't have to agree all the time in order to listen and for it to be a good show, because frankly, a lot of the times on radio, when I'm listening to guys, I listen to them because I like to hear the other opinions. I want to stack it up to how I think, and I want to see if the guy giving me an opinion can help sway my opinion. Does that make any sense?
Yes, absolutely.
So that's kind of where I go.
Yeah, as far as the game is concerned, I believe that this is a tough test for the Patriots because the Lambeau Field and Packers are a good team. However, I personally believe that the Packers might be, right at this point, before the game on Sunday, at this point today, they might be a tad bit overrated, in my opinion.
You really think so? Overrated?
A little bit. Because when I look at the home games that they have played, and I know that Aaron Rodgers is playing out of his mind, but they played the Vikings on Thursday night, the home game. They scored 42 points. The Panthers, they scored 38 points. And then, of course, the Bears and the Eagles, they scored over 50 points. But neither of these teams have good defense. And three out of these four teams are below 500, and they stink.
Okay.
That's what I believe.
I will admit to you that
they are going to lose to the Patriots. I'm just saying that they might be a little bit overrated.
Yeah, I would admit to you that, you know, they're getting off to quick starts does seem to, you know, fluster some teams, and some teams' abilities, you know, to crank it up on offense kind of takes away from, you know, what they might have been able to do defensively. So, you know, there probably is a little something to that.
And I also believe that we have much better defense. And, of course, I'm a little bit of a homer myself, so I still think we are going to win this game 31-27.
All right, that's a pretty close score. I like that one. All right, Belarco, thank you for that. Appreciate that. Happy Thanksgiving. Here's our buddy Eldridge in North Carolina. Happy Thanksgiving, Eldridge.
Happy Thanksgiving, John. How you doing today?
Excellent.
Eric Nelson, Kevin, you know, happy Thanksgiving to them, too.
Thank you, pal. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. But I'm like I said yesterday, a little skeptic. I'll always be skeptic. Because if you look at it, this team mirrors our team. If you look at it, we got a powerful running back. We got two. They got some weapons on the outside that you can't just cover one, you know, a double one, but you got to worry about four or five others you got to worry about. They got two top quarterbacks. One of them a little younger and more mobile. But I'll take Brady any day over anybody. Any day, any century, any year.
Yeah, I get it.
You know.
Sure.
But defensive-wise, when it comes to secondary, like your song said, they got a young secondary.
Yeah.
But I don't think Shields playing again, and I don't know if that other guy that was there last year, no, he ain't there because he's over there in Philadelphia. So they got a young secondary. We got two veterans, well, really three, McCourty, still for his safety. We got Reeves and Browner, but you still got Arrington and Ryan, who still play like young corners who get burnt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that needs help. So, to me, it's about a mirror image of each other. And if, like you said, if we come down to less penalties, less mistakes, and if we jump off early, we're fine.
Right.
You know, but if we don't, we've got a fight to come back. If you get down by two, I don't think we win it.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I think that, you know, digging yourself a hole in Green Bay will be one of the tougher places that you'll probably ever have to go into to try to dig out of that said hole. You know, so that's why I'm saying that, you know, hey, you can struggle. Struggling is one thing. Digging yourself a hole is another. So you can't commit stupid penalties that take big plays away. And they had two really bad ones this last week, even against Detroit, and they won that game going away. But, you know, frankly, they would have put, they might have hung half a hundred on Detroit had they not, you know, had some stupid penalties. So all I'm saying is in a game that's close, you can't afford to do that stuff.
Can't afford to do that. Not at all. And I'm hoping. Like I said, I'm going to be a homer, but I'm not like homer on the other show, Mr. Paul Perillo. I'm the one on this bandwagon, like, I'll hear every other team suspect. New England's on a good team. That's cool. That's cool. I want to tell him so bad, but listen to Jackie Britton. She does it more commentary on the team by player.
Yeah.
So he's assistant. Maybe that's her job, but she does it better.
Sure. All right. Whatever.
But my score is, I won't say it's going to be, 38-35
Patriots?
Even with the last second field goal.
Okay.
Last third field goal.
Well, you know what? This could be a game for that. This absolutely could be a game for that where the kickers are coming to play, and I think the Patriots special teams are definitely an edge for New England.
Yes, and I think it's going to be a shootout because they tap at home like we are, you know, and I, like I said, it's going to be a shootout to me. I don't think it's going to be close, but it's going to be a shootout. We've had the ball last, which opens up, and Stephen kicked their last-minute field goal.
Right.
That's how they're going to come out.
Okay.
Okay. But, John, you have a good one, man. Have a safe feeling to everybody again.
Thanks, Eldridge. Same to you and to yours. Sam in Ontario. Sam, you're up next in the playbook.
Hey, John. How you doing today?
Good, Sam. How are you?
I'm doing well. Very well.
Fantastic. All right, what do you got?
John, I'm pumped for this game.
Yeah?
This is game for the ages. Can't wait. I wish it was tomorrow. Well, we'll wait till Sunday.
I know you got to wait for us. You know, got to wait for us Americans to get through it, right? Get through Thanksgiving
because you get to watch a bunch of games on Thursday.
Yeah. I was about to say that's good for anybody, no matter where you live, right?
Yes. Yeah. We'll celebrate with you guys.
Excellent.
So, John, before I get my prediction out, I hear a lot of people comparing this team to the past Super Bowl winning teams. No, I'm just not ready to do it yet, because they really haven't won anything yet.
All right, well, yeah, I was just going to ask you to tell me why you think that is.
Well, you know, they're 9-2, really. You can go 14-2 and then lose in a divisional round.
Right.
And then everybody forgets about this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say, John, Belichick, this is the best I've seen him coach. I'll be honest with you. I think he's...
What do you think is different this year that maybe you haven't seen in previous years?
Just seeing he's aggressive. I've seen him, you know, he's just calm, and he's making the right move, putting the right players out. He's not afraid to take anybody out of the game.
A calm aggressiveness, then.
He's even nicer to me this year.
Well, not all the time.
A little more than usual.
Well, you know what? I would tell you that if he's perceived by you to be that way, I would tell you that it's largely because, you know, his team is playing well and his team is in a groove that he expected him to be in.
Absolutely. Especially after four games, the way they've come back to play. That's why I say this is one of his best years of coaching. And I love Bill, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't ever doubt him.
Mm-hmm.
But my prediction, John, I'll go 38-31 Patriots.
38-31.
One turnover that just changes the whole game.
Yeah, well, one turnover could very well be the difference in this game. These teams are both pretty equal in terms of their ability, some of the numbers that I've been spitting out already here this afternoon. So, you know, it's all going to come down to whether or not, you know, the other side takes advantage of the opportunities that are presented, whether that's a turnover or that's with a kick return, you know, something in the special teams, you know, stopping them in the red zone or, you know, converting seven rather than three. I mean, that's where the game is going to hinge. And the team that gets one more of those over the other guys, the team that's going to end up on top. That's usually the way it works.
You got it. Absolutely. And it'll probably have to be a fumble. Aaron Rodgers doesn't really throw many interceptions at home.
Well, he is pretty accurate. I would say he's probably the most accurate, you know, quarterback that there is right now. So, you know, because of his ability that he has to sort of, you know, zero in on those targets, yeah, I think, ball control is going to be a huge issue, you know, for the Patriots defensively. I think you'll see them attack it as best as they can.
Absolutely. And he is going up against the best secondary he's seen this year. Right. Other than Seattle in the first week. And they did scare him. He looked scared in that game.
Sure.
Although it was week one.
Right.
Thanks, John.
All right. 38-31 then, Sam. Is that what you said?
That would be it.
Okay. 38-31. Got it. Thank you. Sam in Ontario. And thank you, Sam. Appreciate that. All right. Opens up the phones at 855-PATS-500. Toll free. 855-PATS-500. Web radio at patriots.com. Got a bunch of those to get to. Get to those here shortly. Twitter at JR Broadcaster. Jose says, both offenses are almost equal in the numbers, but we have a better defense, and Rodgers is due to make mistakes. And he says, New England 35, Green Bay 19. HT giving. Okay. Oh, happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, same to you, Jose. Thank you. All right. Interesting. 35-19. He has the Patriots on top of Green Bay on that one. Rodgers is due to make some mistakes. Only if I think the Patriots force him into those, Jose, and I think that is the big key right now, is whether or not the Patriots defensively can cause him to do that. Prashant says, John, I believe the Patriots defense will continue its stride in Green Bay. Stops the Packer offense. Patriots win by 38-31. Is that the second or the third one we've had predicted 38-31? For some reason or other, it seems to be that's kind of a consensus, 38-31. Kashif says, nice to see Chandler back in the field again. Might be a stretch for him to play Sunday, but he's coming. I would agree with that. The sooner the better, Kashif. the sooner the better. Well, if he's able to, you know, even make a token appearance, I mean, that would be huge. This is Wednesday, so it's typically, you know, the first, you know, practice day of the week. Both have him and Salinga back in there. I mean, I suppose it's a long shot for either one based on what we've seen the last couple of weeks, which is basically nothing of either one of these guys. But that is at least encouraging news from today to have them back, you know, at the walkthrough inside the field house today. All right, keep them coming at JR Broadcaster on Twitter. Follow me if you haven't followed me on Twitter. And it's real easy to fire off your stuff for any of the programs here. Let's see. Mary Beth says, happy Thanksgiving. Same to you, Mary Beth. My guess for this week, 38-35 Pats. Jack also says, 38-34 Pats. Cody says, John, I'm thinking Patriots pull it out, 38-34. Cody of Nova Scotia. All right, so 38-34, 38-35, another 38-34. Okay, we're all there. Uh-oh, here we go. Hold on. Yikes. Sometimes this just does happen when they all come in at once, which is fine. I don't mind it. I don't mind it. Let me just get 2 seconds here. One and two. Okay, we'll come back to the. We'll come back to Facebook. Let's get some emails in here. Jeff in California says, John, just want to say I hope you enjoy some time off. Thank you, Jeff. The time off will be tomorrow because I got basketball on Friday, and then Saturday I'm off to Lexington, Kentucky, and then I have the Friars and number one ranked Kentucky on Sunday afternoon, which will tip off about 2.5 hours before the Patriots kick off. So hopefully it'll work out well for both. He says, just wanted to weigh in on Green Bay. I look at them very similar to Indianapolis in terms of a high-powered offense but a soft D that can't stop the run. Also, people seem to be touting Eddie Lacy in the running game. However, if you remove his 105-yard and 125-yard games against the lowly Vikes, well, he's averaging 49 yards per game on the ground in the other 9 games this year. I don't see him as a much better back than any of the others we faced in this stretch. Jeff says, Pats 38, Pack 27. I see what you're saying, but, you know, okay, so you're removing his games against the Vikings, but I've always found that kind of tricky because, you know, you can only play against the guys that are on your schedule. He just happened to have 2 good games, and, you know, you can say what you want about, you know, Minnesota not being as potent on either side of the ball. You know, the Patriots did whack them pretty good, and that was back during the September month when they were struggling overall, and they still beat Minnesota 30-7. I just, you know, I hate doing that because, frankly, that is a part of his record, and it really doesn't matter who it comes against in the NFL. I would also tell you that, you know, Green Bay has kind of done what the Patriots have done. And because they're so good at throwing the ball, why wouldn't you throw it? They kind of use the pass to set up the run. That's kind of how I look at it based on, you know, what I have seen them do this year. Rodgers leads the NFL in passer rating at 119.2. Brady is 6th, 101. Both teams are in the top 5 in the NFL in passing touchdowns, touchdown percentage, interception percentage, and touchdown interception ratio. Top 5 in the NFL, both teams. Rodgers ranks 1st in NFL history with a minimum of 1,500 pass attempts. He's 1st in NFL history in passer rating with 106.4. Brady is 6th at 96. The one thing that Brady has over Aaron Rodgers is a record as a starter. Since Rodgers became a starter in 2008, the Packers are 71-36. Now, that's not a bad record. That's, you know, basically batting 2 for 3 every time you're up at the plate. 664 is the percentage there. Brady, since Rodgers also became a starter in 2008, same time period because that's the only thing you can use comparatively here, Brady is 75-26, which is 74%. So there's a little bit of an edge there for Tom. Just saying. But that should, you know, should tell you that, you know, that's one of the reasons why they kind of rely on Aaron Rodgers because he's that good. Drew says, John, happy Thanksgiving. I predicted a 6-1 stretch run with a loss to Green Bay a few weeks ago with revenge in the Super Bowl. It's hard to bet against a team playing so well, even when they are playing against a team performing equally well. So I won't bet against them. Pats 31, Packers 27 is what Drew and Bowie says. And then Clinton, son of Drew and Bowie, love this, how they do this every week, says Patriots 27, Packers 21. Clinton's going a little lower on the scoring edge, and I'm kind of leaning toward Clinton on that one. I said earlier, Pack 30, Patriots 27. And it's just because I've got a bad vibe about mistakes. Just I kind of carried that with me, even though they dogged Detroit last week. 11 penalties just didn't sit well, and there's either going to be a big penalty that's going to call something back, or there's going to be a turnover that just doesn't sit well with me right now, and I think it's just going to come back to bite them in the rear end, and I think that's going to end up being the difference in the game. I hope not. I really hope not, as I'm sure most of you feel the same way, but I just, you know, I think sometimes you just play with fire a little once too often, Scarecrow, and that's what worries me the most about the game on Sunday. Kashif says, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Special big up to your son and his partner in Calling All Sports. They delivered a well-portrayed and detailed broadcast yesterday. I can see that the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Thank you, Kashif. Appreciate that. I'll pass it on to the guys. For those that might have missed it on yesterday's program, we did it in the opening. Well, not quite the opening. It was bottom of the opening hour. We did about 20, 25 minutes of a simulcast with myself here and my son and his partner, Max, who do a sports talk show on Tuesdays on Marquette Radio in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, called Calling All Sports. And so we went back and forth, basically extolling the virtues of our respective teams. And I thought they did a really good job of presenting Green Bay in particular. And also, I thought a pretty down-the-middle version of how this game could unfold on Sunday. Max is a big Pack fan. Austin, obviously being from here, well, he's a big Patriot fan. So that's pretty cool. He didn't get a chance to listen to check out the podcast and check those guys out. They did a good job. You can find them on Tuesdays, by the way, on MarquetteRadio.org. I believe that's the address, MarquetteRadio.org. My focus, Kashif says, is on a beast known as Aaron Rodgers. Is it possible for our ever-improving defense to contain him for most, half, or at all in the upcoming game? Defense has managed to leech Peyton and Luck and even bottle Stafford, but I know Rodgers is an entirely different fish, so is it possible? Yeah, I think, you can contain him. The key here is whether or not, because I think Aaron is like I said, he's very, very sharp. I think he's the smartest guy in the league in terms of, seeing everything. With all due respect to both Peyton and Tom, Aaron Rodgers of that second level, the younger quarterback, to me seems to have it all going on. And he's got, all the tools. He can certainly run with it when he needs to, as well as the rifle arm and the accuracy. He's pinpoint. And he can go deep. He's got a little bit of everything. He's got all the qualities that you need. The only thing he doesn't have is the one thing he's most paranoid about, and that's some of the overall size. You know, he's kind of got a thing about his overall size only being, 6 foot tall or thereabouts. Although I don't know why that should bother him. Anyway, containing him for half would probably, Kashif, be enough to win the game. You know, the defense, as you said, managed to leech Peyton and Luck and bottle up Stafford. If you could do that for a half and force him to play from behind, and again, as I've stated from the get-go here, make Green Bay one-dimensional so you know what's coming. The Patriots will win this game. If Green Bay's behind and the Patriots know that Aaron Rodgers has to throw the football to win, Patriots can win this game and should win this game because they know what's coming. They will have completely eliminated Eddie Lacy or anybody else that's going to carry the football in a run. Won't do any damage. Make them one-dimensional. That's what you got to do. Make them one-dimensional. Says also, is there a possibility we can experience a case of deja vu with Lacy? Our defense needs to restrain him, not let another Ivory, the guy from the Jets, moment repeat itself. I'll agree with that. I've been struggling all day to come up with a prediction, so what the heck. I'm going to say 31-21 to the Pats. All right, Kashif, thank you for that. Good stuff. Glenn in Ottawa, Ontario says, Patriots beat the Packers 41-28. 41-28 for the Patriots. All right, thank you, Glenn. Noel in Denver, happy Thanksgiving. key player is for the team to show up like they have the last three games. I really don't think Green Bay can stop the Pats, and I predict the score to be 41-24, only because of garbage scores at the end by the Packers. Wow. So you think the Patriots are going to have this hand over fist, huh? If this game is not over at the half, the Pats pull away in the second half. Can't wait. Have a great turkey day to you and yours. I predicted 13-3 at the beginning of the year and now really feel they will win out. That would make them 14-2 if they're able to do that. And he says, loving life in Denver, 71 degrees tomorrow and Friday. Peyton Manning weather once again. He probably wishes they were playing at home. No question. 71 in Denver after all that ugliness a couple of weeks ago? That's just not fair. It's not right either. My goodness. All right. Santosh says, John, happy Thanksgiving. Great show. Frequent listener. Thank you. This game, in my opinion, is not even close. He says Patriots by 2 touchdowns. Coach is going to take Jordy and Randall out with Revis and Browner and Hightower spying on Lacey. Coach will also blitz a lot up the middle. Double-A gap pressure similar to what they did against Peyton. On offense, my guess will be a heavy dose of running by Jonas and Blunt. Packers secondary is weak. Patriots have too many weapons on offense. Patriots are going to get a big lead. Packers will be one-dimensional in the second half. Final score, Patriots 41, Green Bay 28. Boy, Santosh, that's well thought out. That's a great prediction from top to bottom there. That's pretty good. You kind of took care of just about everything there. Hopefully it'll come true, right? Drew says the most important player in this is the offensive line, particularly the left side. You got to protect Brady and ground and pound. Enough said. Yeah, I actually think that's as good a pick as any in terms of asking you about the most important player, only because I'm a little concerned about Julius Peppers and his ability to disrupt. Protect it. Keep him out of the backfield. Just basically make him irrelevant. I like running at these guys. He may be a guy you can run at more so than Ndamukong Suh this past week. Although the Patriots did have won his way. Luke says, John, watch the 1-2 punch of Gray and Blunt against that poor front seven. Big story of this game. That's what Luke predicts. And he says, Pats 42, Packers 23. That would be a huge factor. If they're able to bludgeon them to the tune of a 19-point win like that, that would be huge. Thank you, Luke. Matt says, John, this is a win. Any team with a stout defense and well-balanced offense can go into Lambeau and beat the Pack at any time of the year, like the 49ers or the Giants. Both number 12s throw for over 300 yards. This year's Broncos are significantly better than the Packers on defense and offense. If we can take down that juggernaut of a team, we can beat Green Bay, too. 35-27 Pats, of course. Spoken with true confidence. Matt in Watertown. All right, Matt, thank you. Chad says, Rook, have a good Thanksgiving. Same to you, Chad. There is no reason why our secondary cannot manhandle Green Bay's pass-happy, selfish, stat-oriented offense. Green Bay's defense gets torched. Pats Nation 41, Cheese Stinkers 17. Ooh, that would be a stinker. KB from Atlanta. I don't think this game will be as close as everyone thinks at all. I understand Rodgers is one of the smartest quarterbacks playing in the game today, but I'm big on our defense. They've been playing excellent. I think our defense comes up big and is the difference maker. I think Revis shadows Cobb all day. Browner covers Nelson. McCourty brackets. If our nickel package can stop Lacey, we win. 42-28. Patriots win convincingly in Lambeau. Happy Thanksgiving, KB. Good job out of you. Peter says, 39-34, Pats. Sending that from his iPhone, wherever he may be. Thank you, Peter. 39-34. Like the odd-numbered score there. That's pretty good. Still plenty of time for you to get your predictions in. webradio@patriots.com if you want to send it via email. Also time for you to pick up the phone. 855-PATS-500. Not only your score prediction for the game on Sunday, but who's going to be most important? Numero uno in terms of importance for the Patriots to get the win. Who must play well? Who is the key, the big factor, the head honcho, however you want to look at it? Who has to play well for the Patriots to win the game on Sunday? Kind of use that as a tiebreaker. We've done that in the past. We can do that this weekend as well. For some reason or another, I got a feeling somebody's going to get it this week. Just call it a premonition. I don't know. Just have the premonition. So that's why one of the reasons why I asked you for who do you think is going to be, who has to have a good game for the Patriots to win, because in the event of a tie, that's what I'm going with. That's how it's going to break the tie. We've had a couple of 38-31s. We've had a couple of 38-34s. I think we've had a couple of 38-35s. So what do you think? At JR Broadcaster is the Twitter handle. Brian says Pats 28, Green Bay 21. Let's see. This one, I'm not sure who this is. This is John. I think Blunt will be the key player against the Packers. Other, is it possible to call playbook from Australia? Clearly it's one of our listeners from down under. I'd love to do that. Kevin, I think a road trip to Australia is in order. What do you think? We should go to Australia. Yep. A little land down under. Yeah, I think we should do that. Go for a little Vegemite. What do you think? Okay. Prashant says this on Twitter. He also says, I also predict Rodgers will be intercepted after a long time at home. Kind of interesting that he says that. All right. Interceptions as well. We'll take those. All right, we'll continue with some of the Facebook posts, tweets, emails. Still time for your phone calls as well. Going to get in a quick break, and then Field Yates will join us in the playbook. We'll look at the Pats-Green Bay matchup. What does he think about Jonas Gray? And how the Patriots should handle that situation between him and Garrett Blunt now. Who's the starter? And does it even matter? Should he get his job back? I know you have your thoughts. We'll see what Field thinks. Coming up right here in the playbook.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Can't get enough Patriots Playbook? Find the show in the audio on demand section of Patriots.com. Catch up on live episodes you missed or simply replay your favorite Playbook moments from years past. Get inside the Patriots Playbook with John Rook whenever, wherever. Only on Patriots.com and the official Patriots apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad.
Caught this just a few minutes ago. Several sources now saying that Dominic Raiola, in fact, has been fined for his actions on the field against the Patriots this past Sunday. Not so much for the cut block on Zach Moore, but how about for clubbing him over the head? Yeah, clubbed him from behind. You remember that? He's apparently been fined $10,000 for what the NFL is calling unnecessary roughness. Not so much for the cut block, but for clubbing him on the head. Play against Moore earlier in the drive, you might recall. Moore beat him, and Raiola then tried to kind of hit him from behind. The league says the rule violated Rule 12, Section 2, Article 12C, which doesn't allow striking, swinging at, or clubbing the head, neck, or face of an opponent with the wrists, arms, elbows, or hands. Well, at least they got him for something, I guess. And maybe that's one of the reasons why they didn't necessarily get him for the cut block. Field Yates, of course, used to write for ESPN Boston. Now he's ESPN's NFL insider, a graduate of these very hallways, hallowed hallways here at Gillette Stadium, joined us. And, Field, thanks for taking some time. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Looking forward to the holiday. If I had to say so myself, I would do the unofficial power ranking. Thanksgiving is clearly in my top three.
Along with?
That's a good question. 4th of July is right up there as well. And then, you know, Christmas. Christmas is always a good one, too.
Those are three pretty solid choices by you.
Yeah.
Three pretty solid choices. I like it. First of all, let me get your thoughts on Raiola. I mean, you know, do you think anything would have happened had he not opened his mouth and admitted that he cut block Zach Moore at the end of the game?
Listen, the whole situation is baffling because Raiola, you know, what he said, what he tried to hide after the fact, I guess not tried to hide, but the fact that he would basically, you know, defend his actions and say he did nothing wrong, that's just as clownish as the acts themselves.
Yeah.
So it's a deserved penalty if there ever was one for a $10,000 fine.
Well, I was blowing the NFL apart for not at least giving him some kind of a monetary fine. And not so much for the cut block, for just for opening his mouth stupidly as he did. And it's nice to see the NFL also agrees in that instance.
Absolutely. Listen, now people get up in arms for a lot of these NFL fines. We just players get fined for things like socks and shoes and celebrations and the sort, but this is one where clearly there's no place for it in the game. And if $10,000 doesn't dissuade Dominic Raiola from doing something like this again, I'm not sure what will.
Well, at least now that's kind of out of the way, and he got what was coming to him, and hey, good luck to the Lions the rest of the way. As far as the, you know, one more sort of leftover from that game last weekend, you know, the story of Jonas Gray and doing what he did the week before and then not even getting off the bench, apparently to pay a penance of some kind. And it was pretty clear also that running was not exactly a New England priority last week against a tough Lions front. But how do you think that should go from here? Does Jonas Gray resume or return to his duties as option one, since he clearly was that before LeGarrette Blount entered the equation? Or because Blount is more of a veteran presence here, should he take over from this stage forward?
Yeah, I'm not sure how much last week can really teach us, and really 2 weeks ago, because, you know, we can say that Jonas Gray was clearly number one, but he was number one in terms of the running back carousel for 1 week. It just happened to be an extraordinary performance from him, 201 rushing yards and four touchdowns. Listen, the Patriots, they're a game plan offense. This is not new. This is the same thing they've been for the 14 years as Tom Brady was Tom Brady at the quarterback position, and 15 years as Bill Belichick has been the head coach. They will change things up week to week depending on what an opponent gives them defensively. So I think going forward, the best bet as a Patriots will remain unpredictable. I don't know who's going to lead them in carries from 1 week to the next, but I think that clearly LeGarrette Blount, Shane Vereen, and I do think Jonas Gray will have some role within the offense each week.
Yeah, I can't imagine that, you know, whatever, you know, wrong he might have committed other than, you know, missing practice or being late to practice or whatever. I can't imagine there'd be more penance to pay than what he's already paid. I would imagine he would be at least a part of the game plan. Certainly seems like the game plan would call this week for a little more emphasis on the ground, considering what Green Bay has, done with itself defensively against defending the run all season long. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. This is a week where I'm not sure that Green Bay, their strength on defense is forcing turnovers, mm-hmm. and then offensively capitalizing on those turnovers. Made the Packers trail, and I'm escaping me who is first in the NFL in terms of turnovers forced. It might be the Cardinals, but the Packers have forced 23 turnovers in this 2014 season, just ahead of the Patriots and just behind only one other team. So that's the strength of their defense. It isn't necessarily the front seven or the secondary. So where the Lions had a clearly defined strength, which was that front seven and the ability to generate pressure through the interior and on the edge, as well as stopping the run, the Packers are different stories. This could be a week where, after seeing the Patriots rush the football just six times in the first half, they could look to establish the run early, separate and apart from the fact that it looks like the weather will be sort of football smash mouth weather, right? You know, mid-teens or 20s. Not the perfect elements to air it out, but perhaps a better week to get things going on the ground.
Sounds like it could be, although I don't know that that necessarily plays to an advantage to one side or the other, because we know how the Patriots perform in cold weather, so maybe that kind of plays into their hands, makes them feel comfortable kind of right at home.
Yeah, hey, listen, the Patriots have shown that no matter where it is, no matter who the opponent is, no matter what the weather is, they're a capable foe. And I think that if you're a person that follows this team, that's what has to have you most excited right now. And I tweeted this out a few days ago, and I think it's worth repeating. In week 11, when the Patriots were facing the team that led the NFL in scoring to that point in a dome, they held the Colts to what was tied for the fewest points they've scored in any game that season. The Colts mm-hmm. averaged 32.65 points, I believe it was,
right,
for that game. They scored just 20. Last week, going against the Lions, again, at home, different conditions, different team, the Lions entered that game leading the league with just 15.9 points per game allowed, I believe.
Yep.
The Patriots hung 34 on them, which was 10 more than they've allowed in any game this season. And let's be honest, the Patriots left some points on the field. Anytime you throw an interception in the end zone or at the goal line, that's basically points taken away. I don't think the Patriots had their best offensive outing last week.
They didn't.
The team is complete. I think that first of all, it's very difficult for every team to get their very best every single Sunday. But all things considered, I do think you can make a case that in terms of completeness, the Patriots have an argument for being the most complete team in the NFL.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to argue that, and that's why most of this, you know, short week that we have here, been doing our best to try to play devil's advocate, because I think most Patriots fans are not only A, liking what they're seeing, but they're climbed on the bandwagon, and I don't know that we're going to have too many people jump off before this thing is all over with, and the point behind it is that there are still capable teams left on this schedule, especially this week, whenever you have a chance to play somebody on their home field. It really sort of optimizes the chance that you got to minimize, you know, mistakes in order to win games like this.
Well, you cannot turn the ball over against the Packers, because I don't have the exact figure, but I know that my colleague Mike Reese, who covers this team as well as anybody else, mentioned this fact. The Packers have more points scored off of turnovers than any team in the league. Aaron Rodgers is playing lights-out football, perhaps the best of his career, perhaps as good as any other quarterback in the league. You don't want to give him extra opportunities. If you do, that's basically asking for the Packers to hang 3 points on you. Don't do it. Don't give them extra opportunities. You got to limit opportunities. So this is a week, more so than even turnovers, they're never acceptable. It's always important to keep them low, but this week especially so.
I would think that pace, tempo, controlling the clock has got to be important here, especially if you want to try to keep a team like Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay off balance, and B, make them more one-dimensional. So that means grab the lead so you know what's coming at you.
You got to do your best. And, what's interesting about the Packers versus some teams you play against, like, for example, Detroit last week, Detroit's not a particularly effective running football team. They aren't particularly effective throwing the football right now either, but they have terrific weapons in both Calvin Johnson and Golden Tate, and eventually rookie tight end Eric Ebron and the rest of their supporting cast will come around as well. But they did not run the football well, period, end of story. The Packers, they throw it really well, and they run it really, really well, because Eddie Lacy is like a freight train coming at you. The guy basically never goes down on first contact. He's a player that, if the passing game is out of sync, he can get the offense back on track because of his grinded-out style that really wears down a defense.
Field, what do you think Green Bay does particularly well on defense? Because all we've talked about this week is how they're susceptible to playing against the run. What do they do well? Along the lines of, disrupting things and guys like Julius Peppers getting involved.
Yeah, there are two things they do particularly well, I'd say, and I mentioned the turnover forcing earlier.
Right, right.
One of the things you have to keep an eye on when you're playing Green Bay and they're on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they also, as you just mentioned, they've got playmakers like Julius Peppers, Clay Matthews, Nick Perry, their second-year record out of USC. They can generate pressure against an opposing quarterback and do it in a couple of different ways. Dom Capers, who's familiar in this part after his time working for the Patriots, he's going to scheme ways to generate pressure. They've also got some of the athletes up front to sort of generate pressure on their own. The Packers may not be a complete defense, but maybe they're not the best defense in the NFL. But they have shown that they are big play prone in terms of generating big plays, which is another reason why you just got to minimize mistakes against them.
Right. And what are your thoughts on Ha Ha Clinton Dix? And I just said that because I like saying his name.
A promising young player. Listen,
yeah.
I think that we know here in these parts how effective some of these Alabama players can be, right? Dont'a Hightower being the latest example of a terrific former Crimson Tide player who's now is playing at a high level for the Patriots. Ha Ha Clinton Dix is going to be a fixture for that Green Bay secondary for quite some time. I was surprised he lasted as long as he did on the draft board. I'm sure that Green Bay president and GM, or GM, I think maybe director of football operations. I don't know what Ted Thompson's exact title is other than general manager, but he's got multiple for good reasons. And he was very happy, I would imagine, when Ha Ha Clinton Dix spotted him in the first round of the 2014 draft.
I would imagine. I think he's been pretty impressive, too, including his name, just because sure. that's just announcer's delight is what that is. Just makes you laugh, huh? Right? Okay.
I'm with you.
Yeah. All right. So then, is this, and I realize this is sort of an over, dramatization here, is this, in your estimation, a potential Super Bowl preview?
Listen. It's always risky business to posit things when we've still got, I think it's 7 weeks or 8 weeks or 9 weeks. I don't know the exact number of days. I got to get better on my details today. But we've got quite some time until the Super Bowl, right? So it's definitely a little bit of risky business to be making some sort of sweeping statement. That being said, you look at these two teams, what they do effectively, the paths they have ahead of them, both of them could be sort of moving towards a top two seed in their respective conferences. We know that teams that play well at home in the playoffs often obviously can have some success. At least that seems sort of obvious. But, you know, both of these teams are playing well right now, and I think that if you were to stack them up with the rest of their conferences, they're certainly in the mix for the very best. So would not be surprised if this is the first of two times that these two teams play this season.
Oh, that'll be, you know, well, A, if you can get there and you end up facing these guys again, then it certainly tells you something about your season as well, number one. Number two, the buildup would be tremendous, I think, in the week off, especially if it is a sort of a rematch from a regular season game. And so hopefully it'll be something for us all to look forward to. And I hope that you get a chance to look forward to a great week with your family and enjoy the games this weekend, Field.
Right back to you. Happy holidays to you and all the listeners out there. Let's make it a great one.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for that. Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider and contributor here, as he has done for a couple of years now inside the playbook. And he's sort of matriculated and graduated and gone onward. And with a tear in our eye and a sniff in our hearts, well, you know, he's kind of pat him on the rear and you're off and running. He's now one of the big boys at ESPN. And I wouldn't shock me at all someday to see him sort of move in and replace either Chris Mortensen or a guy like Adam Schefter, you know, who are the quote unquote the insiders for ESPN. But you know, Field could be a younger version that Freudian slip could be a younger version. What?
It's a family show.
I know.
Thanksgiving,
for Christ's
sake.
I know. I realize that.
Dirty
I'm
old
sorry.
Man.
No. I just, you know, that's because of me. I step on my big fat tongue. I just do that every once in a while. I meant nothing by that. I really did. How old is Field anyway? Do we know?
Field's probably like my age. Like
is he your age?
28?
Okay. All right. Well, you look a lot older, so I never think
I look
of
a lot older. He's got good moss. He's got the good cabbage
He's
up there.
Got, yeah, he definitely has cabbage.
In a completely, you know, work-appropriate straight way, he's a very attractive man. I'm not shocked that he's on TV as much as he is.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, of course.
No, I'm just saying. Not that I'm
that's
checking.
That's why he's on television.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm trying to get at. It's not like I'm checking him out.
I just see him,
and I'm like, there's a guy.
He's got the glamour boy look.
3 years ago,
yeah.
4 years ago, before he was, you know,
when he was
up.
Still around these halls.
Yeah, you know, you look at him, and you're like, there's a guy that, you know, if he gets his window, is going to have the chops to be on SportsCenter all
and
the time.
He's
a real good-looking guy.
He does. Let's face it. That's just why, you know, it happens. But you can also tell, and this is why I'm glad we still get a chance to talk to him from time to time, he knows his stuff. Guy's got his facts. He has it cold. He spends all of his time studying. He watches film. He breaks things down. He has a way of describing breaking it down to the point where anybody can understand it. And that's a talent that you have in this business. You know, being able to not dumb it down for people to understand, but, you know, be able to speak to everyone's level in a form and fashion that everyone can understand. That's very important in terms of being a communicator for a living, like we all are trying to do here. And he's done a particularly good job of it at a pretty young age. So we wish him well, and we're glad that he still takes our phone calls from time to time. That's all I'm going to say. Matthew says, Browner will be the key player of this game for the Pats. Look for Rodgers to test him early, and Browner will need a career game to keep up with either Cobb or Nelson. A career game? Really? Really? I think Nelson will simply be too fast for Browner. Patriots will take away the run early, making the Packers one-dimensional. A one-dimensional Rodgers is still a great threat and will possibly be too much in the Patriots secondary. And he says 34-30 Packers. This comes from Matthew. It looks like University of New Mexico. All right, Matthew, at least you are honest. I'm assuming you're a Patriot fan because you talked about Browner being the key for the game, but he says 34-30 Packers as far as a prediction. I'm almost a smidge surprised. Smidgen surprised that he's the only one that's predicted a Packer win thus far. Thought we might get a couple of more Patriot fans do that. I think it just kind of shows you the power of persuasion with the way the Patriots have been kind of a juggernaut lately. Still a few minutes left to get your picks in here. Let me get back to Facebook because I know we had a bunch of posts that just came in. Kareem says, John, first of all, happy and safe Thanksgiving to you and your family, to all the New England fans. Thank you, Kareem. Same to you. Our game on Sunday against the Packers is, in fact, one of the most important games of the year, as it is a real test for our ability to overcome another great Super Bowl contender. Aaron Rodgers is playing his best football yet. The Green Bay Packers dominate on their turf. And please remind the fans who forgot that not long ago, the Patriots had the phenomena of a perfect season and went to the Super Bowl as the conquerors of all conquerors and ended up losing to a 9-7 team. So if we really think that winning over the Packers gives us a ticket to the Super Bowl, that is absolutely wrong. The most important game is the next game, and for all I know, we have more games to play to be even considering Super Bowls. I'm not a downer, but I really, really love to be realistic. And with all the success that we have been having, I don't think we should jump the gun and we should just enjoy week by week. To be honest with you, and I hope I'm wrong, but that's a game I counted as a loss at the beginning of the season. That's a good point by you, Kareem. Kind of thought the same way. One more time, happy Thanksgiving to you all and to all a good night. But he does say, by the way, go Patriots, 37-23, Pats. So it sounds like he's setting us up for picking the Packers here. He says, go Pats, 37-23. Of course. Once a Pats fan, always a Pats fan, just can't resist the urge to pick your team. I get it. Marcus just shoots through with this one. He says, John, I try not to be overly optimistic, but how can you not be the way the Pats look this year if they win Sunday? I just think they're going to take it all the way. He says, love the show. Pats 42, Packers 14. 42-14, my goodness. All right, that's a big spread. But you know what? You never know. If it happens that way and you're the winner next week and we're mailing the yearbook to you, well, then you're the one laughing all the way to the end, right? Totally get that. Let's see what else we got here. A couple of more just came in as well. Chris posts this on Facebook. He says, happy Turkey Day, John. Pats 30, Green Bay 25. I think the Pats are just the better team. You know what I do like? Even though we did get close, I said one guy missed by one point either way 2 weeks ago against the Colts, but more and more people, when they're predicting these scores, are coming in with the odd-numbered scores, which is actually kind of fun because everybody's trying to pick the one that, you know, will get them the prize. I get that. Keep in mind now that the one game that won last year was a 24-17 score, 27-17 score, which is a typical, you know, obvious, you know, easy score to come up with. And we had five people hit it in 1 week. But that was the only week that we had anybody predict the score accurately last season. And so far through, you know, 11 weeks of Patriots games this year, week 12 overall, we've had nobody. And the one that got closest was 41-21 to the 42-20 win over Indianapolis. That was as close as we got. Richard says, John Rook, New England Patriots 27, Green Bay Packers 21. Feeling confident, he says. Brian says, happy Turkey Day, John. If you look for the X factor in this game, it's the Pats defense. They are way better than the Pack defense. Rodgers will get his, but we will get ours on D as well. Where I don't see the Pack D stopping our offense, especially the run D is horrible. We will run wild on them through the air. Rodgers will be playing from behind and make a critical interception as well. 41-27, Pats. Gabe says, happy Turkey Day, John. Eat a ton and take a nap. Thank you. I will do that. Robert says, Robert from Virginia, Pats 41, Packers 24, and happy Thanksgiving. Ramon, John, prediction Thursday on a Wednesday. This one, it is going to be closer than most people think. He says, Pats 31, Green Bay 28. Keys to win, controlling Lacy and Nelson, but more importantly, the clock. I won't disagree with that at all, Ramon. I think that's actually a pretty good selection there by you. I think controlling the clock will be very key. You got to get the lead, got to get a jump on them, and then really, you know, hopefully your running game can do its job. If you can do that, then I think the Patriots will be in decent shape to win it. Just don't turn it over. Christopher says, hashtag prediction Thursday, Pats 42, Green Bay 35. Now, that would be a hell of a game for television, wouldn't it? If you actually get a 42-35 offensive shootout like that, there won't be anybody that'll be sorry with that one, with the exception of, you know, Green Bay fans. But at least for fans watching on television, they've got to be thrilled with a game like that on a Sunday afternoon. Onique, John, I picked the Pats to win this weekend. Final score, Pats 30, Packers 27. Final Patriots possession gets them a field goal and the lead to win the game. Pats defense does a good job against Rodgers and company. Brady plays a clean game. Hopefully the team cleans up the penalty issues. You're right, Onique. Gabriel chimes in again. The one player I would say who has to play like his hair is on fire has to be Nate Solder. He has to make sure Brady's blind side and Matthews too stays clear all game. It's a good selection, Gabe. I like that one. I think Matthews could wreak havoc. That's the one guy I think you really need to be careful of. Peppers certainly, but I think the Patriots will have a kind of target on Peppers. Matthews does scare me, especially when he drops back into coverage, as he's underrated. I think he's a coverage guy. He hasn't had particularly great performances in coverage, but I definitely think you're going to see him do that against New England. The Patriots need to be ready for it. Jay says, John, I think New England will lose another game this year, but that it will be an upset that they always seem to lose against a Jet or a Miami-type team. So he says 37 New England, 23 Green Bay. Jay's in Newark, New York. I think I had a couple of more here. Let me check. Paul. John, as it's a hashtag WTF and hashtag prediction doubleheader, here goes. Focus has to be on keeping Rodgers and the Packers O on the sidelines. Run the ball, high percentage passes, long drives, shorten the game. If we do that, then I think we can win it 31-28, and I can finally win a yearbook. Paul, well said. Focus definitely has to be on keeping Rodgers and the offense on the sidelines, which means run the ball. Yes. High percentage passes. Yes. Long drives. Yes. Shorten the game / manage the clock. Yes. All of that. Big keys to the Patriots getting win on Sunday. Gabe, oh yeah, his score, 38-23, Pats over the Packers. I see an even mix of run and pass. They better bring their A game. Adam says, I'm taking the Packers over the Pats 31-27. And I have a question. Would you rather see the Patriots lose a game, assuming it won't affect their seeding and they'll still come away with home field throughout, or does it really not matter if they roll into the postseason on a 12-game winning streak? You know, that's a great question, and obviously it'll be a question that'll undoubtedly get asked again if they win in Green Bay on Sunday. I've always been the proponent that, you know, sometimes a loss sort of forces a team to refocus and reset itself. Losses are never good, and I don't think any athlete will ever tell you anywhere that a loss is a good loss. This is still a loss. But in terms of getting a team to refocus and maybe play with a little more urgency, then sometimes you can use it to your benefit. And I think that's really the way that most teams, you know, kind of look at it. And I'm assuming the Patriots would do likewise as well. It's not a good thing. It just means that it's the next thing. And because of that, I kind of get the feeling that, you know, all right, it would cause the Patriots to take a step back, maybe reevaluate why they lost, what they need to do to improve, correct the mistakes that they made in a particular game, and then allow them the opportunity to really focus on those problem areas in going forward. And sometimes that can sort of reset the deck and give you a new sense of urgency going forward. So in a sense, it's a good thing, even though losing's never a good thing. Hope that made sense. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. Mamta says on Twitter, Pats 34-30. Close game. This one comes from Vermont. Green Bay Packers dominate bad teams on their turf. Rodgers is playing lights out, but he's faced cream puffs. So he says 42-37 Pats. That'd be a hell of a game, too. We had 42-35 earlier as a prediction. 42-37 would be a heck of a shootout. Heck of a shootout. This one, again, coming from Australia. MDM4N, whoever that is. Look what GB did against Minnesota. This will be a win, 27-34 for New England. 34-27 Patriots. Thank you. And then Michael also just sent this in as a tweet. He says, John, 27-24 Pats. Thank you for that. Again, my final prediction was Green Bay 30, New England 27. Not because I'm hating on anybody. Just based on some of the penalties and Green Bay's penchant for taking advantage and forcing turnovers. I'm not sure the Patriots have paid close enough attention to those kind of details or it's really mattered much thus far, and even you would have to admit that. It's only going to take one mistake, kids, for this game to kind of, you know, turn around like that. So that's kind of where I'm going with this. Obviously, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that I'm the number one nitpick of myself next Tuesday when we're back here doing this. But that's kind of what I think. Regardless, I hope each and every one of you have a very safe and happy Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Hope you can spend some time with family and loved ones. And reduce the stress in life, my friends. Reduce the stress. We all need that in life nowadays. Enjoy the Turkey Day football. Lots of great basketball on as well. Enjoy the weekend and better, and of course, most of all, look forward to and enjoy a great Packers-Patriots game on Sunday afternoon. We will restack it all up, and we'll bring it back to you next Tuesday for Nitpick Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern time. And we'll get ready. The Patriots, of course, will be staying out west for San Diego to get prepared. So they won't be coming back this way, but we'll be here to talk about it with you as they get ready for San Diego next weekend. Have a great, great holiday weekend. Bob Soucy is coming up next right here on Patriots.com Radio.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.